Welcome back to our study of Genesis. We are in chapter 12, and we're going to begin with verse 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land.
You go and read 7 with
me. Okay. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto your seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him.
I mentioned this before the break, how, you know, Abraham being descended of Shem, going into the land of Canaan, he was a descendant of Ham, and how God has told Abram that he's going to give that land to his descendants. To his descendants. Abraham didn't get land. He walked land. He walked property. You understand? And the boundaries, if you want to know the property of Israel, what their boundaries is, what belongs to Israel by the ordination of God, then you read how Joshua divided that land, and it'll be what Abraham walked. He walked that land. God said, wherever your foot goes, I'll give you the land. And you'll see the boundary of the nation of Israel. And all these people about talking about Israel taking land. No, their land's been stolen from them. You understand? They're not in somebody else's land. They're in land God gave them. Now, what does Abraham do when God tells him this? He builds an altar. And the bottom line was this was the method of the day in worshiping God. When something phenomenal like that took place, you'd see these men build altars to the Lord and a worship to the Lord, as a memorial to the Lord. Okay.
And he removed from there unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord.
Now, so he's not into idol worship. He's following God with all his heart, mm-hmm. isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And so here note that he's living in a tent,
mm-hmm.
always living in a tent, mobile. One place to another place, okay? And there's so much to say about this, because you'll see that the first tabernacle was a tent, and you'll see that the body of Christ is to be mobile. But what are we trying to do today? Make it stationary. We want to build these multi-million-dollar complexes and all this and cease to be mobile for the Lord. Mm-hmm. Something wrong with that picture. Okay.
And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land.
So Abram is doing what God's called him to do. He's going from this place to this place, and then there's a famine, so to survive, he goes to Egypt.
Mm-hmm. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold, now I know that you are a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see you, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. But they will save you alive. Say, I pray you, that you are my sister, that it may be well for me, for your sake, that my soul shall live because of you.
This is an interesting narrative. First off, Sarah has to be over 65. She's 10 years younger than Abram. Abram was 75
mm-hmm.
when they left Haran. So she had to be 65 when they left Haran. Now, I don't know the time period it lapsed, but he is so concerned that she is so beautiful that they'll kill him to get her. Now, that's pretty remarkable when you think about it. Probably most kings aren't looking for, you know, a woman 65, 70 years old to be in her harem. But evidently, Sarah's a knockout. So here this great man of God says, listen, you're so beautiful, they'll kill me. How about you sparing my life and tell them you're my sister? Don't tell them you're my wife. Now you think about this. He's hanging her out to dry.
Mm-hmm.
So when they get down to Egypt, they have this agreement that she's going to say that she's Abram's sister rather than to say she's his wife. Self-preservation. It's amazing how good people can do unscrupulous things to preserve themselves, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair.
Well, these Egyptian men, when they go into Egypt, that's, man, that's beautiful. Not only them, you can keep reading.
Okay. The princess also of Pharaoh saw her and commanded her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house.
Man, the princess said, look, this woman beautiful. You need to get this woman. And so he does. He takes her into his house.
Yeah. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, and he had asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels.
But instead of killing Abraham, he started treating him good,
mm-hmm,
because of Sarah, right?
Yeah.
And then you can see this blessing of God is continuing upon Abram. You look at the possessions that he has.
Mm-hmm.
Here he has sheep, oxen, donkeys, men servants, maid servants, female donkeys, and camels. He's doing all right, because God's good for his word.
Mm-hmm. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife.
And so God's not going to tolerate
Abram.
God has a plan for Abram, and that plan includes Sarah. The seed is going to come through that man, that woman. And so God's not going to let that be tampered with, so he plagues the house of Pharaoh. And I don't know how, if God spoke to him like he spoke to Abimelech in a dream,
mm-hmm,
but somehow Pharaoh knows I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you mm-hmm want to keep reading?
Yes, sir. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold, your wife, take her and go your way.
So Pharaoh knows what the problem is.
Yeah.
And so he confronts Abram. What have you done to me?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you tell me this was your sister? Why didn't you tell me this was your wife? He's suffering right now, you understand, all, with his whole household, because Abram lied to him.
And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had.
Now he said, hey, take your wife and get out of here. You know, all of a sudden that beauty doesn't matter. You understand? But I look at this situation, and And I still see how God is good for His Word and how God's protecting, even though some bad decisions were made. Yet God still covered that. So this seed that He had planned for Abraham and Sarah would not be messed with, that this is going to produce what God wanted to produce. And this will show you, I mean, Abraham was a man of faith, obviously. And I hold Abraham in high esteem, but it just shows you that he was a natural man. That he was a man that had feelings. He was a man that had fears. You understand? But that did not get in the way of God doing a great and mighty work through this man. So that just tells me there's hope for us. God's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for obedient people that He can perfect as we go along. You understand?
So chapter 13. In this chapter, we're going to learn about Abram and Lot's possessions, the strife among their servants, the separation of Lot and Abram, and God's promise to Abram. Okay. 1 and 2. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold.
Now I want you to think about the promise that God's made him. God's good for His Word. So when Abraham leaves, he leaves Lot still with him. He leaves, he takes all his possessions with him, and it says he was very rich. And then it goes on to say what he was rich in. I mean, this is natural things, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so God is keeping His Word to Abraham. He has cattle. He has silver. He has gold. God's taking care of him. Okay? Now, it's not that you serve God for what you get. Abram did not initiate this. God initiated the covenant that this is what I'm going to do for you. But a lot of people go off on the deep end and they're looking for what they can get. They're not looking to serve God and they're trying to do things with ulterior motives. And James calls it consuming it on your own flesh.
Mm.
Okay, and it doesn't work that way.
And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai.
So he goes back to where he was there at Bethel and Hai, and he had built an altar there, and he called on the name of the Lord.
Mm.
It's interesting to me that he's keeping his focus
mm-hmm.
on the Lord, even though he's made some mistakes along the way. He's keeping his focus still on the Lord. His worship's not to other idols and all this type things. He's following God.
And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents.
Now this also interests me. Not only was Abram rich, but Lot, his nephew, who was confederate with him and operating under his auspices, he had also become rich to the point that their possessions were so great, the land wasn't big enough for both of them. You think about that. There's not enough pasture land for the sheep, the cattle, and all this. And consequently, they're having some problems and it brings about some strife.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and read.
Okay.
Ahead on.
I'm going to read 6 and 7 together. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and Perizzite dwelled then in the land.
Now remember, this is occupied territory that they're in. Canaanites are there and the Perizzites are there. And so along with Lot and Abram, the land's not big enough to accommodate all of them. And so something has to happen, and so there's arguing going on between Lot's his servants and Abram's servants, and so Abram decides this is not going to continue. We're going to have to do something about this.
Mm-hmm. And Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray you, between you and me, and between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray you, from me. If you will take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you will depart to the right, then I will go to the left."
Now here Abraham shows himself to be honorable. He says, "Listen, we're relatives. Mm-hmm. We don't need this strife between us. Families need to get along, right? So here's what we'll do. We need to go separate ways, mm-hmm. and I'm going to let you have the first choice. You go, you look at the land, you take whatever you want, you go that direction, I'm going to go the opposite direction. You go left, I go right, you go right, I go left. But I'm giving you the choice, you take the land you want. Preference, right?
Yeah. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord, destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you come into Zoar.
Now, if you think about this, all right, Lot, you take what you want. You go the way you want.
Mm-hmm.
Lot starts looking out, and he's looking at it from a natural perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, this looks like the best land. I mean, this will accommodate me well.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham is looking at it from faith. That the Lord has made me a promise. The Lord has already proven by taking care of me, the Lord will continue to take care of me. And so he's not looking at it from a natural perspective. He's looking to God as his source, not to what man has to offer out here in natural terrain or whatever.
I think I got behind you. I didn't read verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other.
Now, Lot chose the plain. He journeyed toward the east. Abraham went the other way. Mm-hmm. So they separated from one another.
Mm-hmm. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom.
So Lot sees all this plush land. He goes that way, and then Sodom's there, and he pitches his tent toward Sodom.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong move.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to look at the choices, because later on, you're going to see that Lot's choice cost him everything. Abram's choice, by letting Lot prefer and him depending on God, brought multiple blessings upon him. Quite a contrast.
Mm-hmm. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly.
Wicked and extremely guilty in the eyes of the Lord.
Mm.
That's who inhabited Sodom.
And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, to you I will give it, and to your seed forever. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed also be numbered.
Well, here's another thing that interests me. when God spoke to Abram in the beginning, he said to leave everything, right? To leave his kindred. Mm-hmm. But when he first started out, he's still with his dad. Mm-hmm. Then when his dad dies, he actually goes into the land of Canaan. Once he separates from Lot, that leaves no more family there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just Abram.
Mm-hmm.
Now God really pronounces the blessing over Abram. You get into more detail when you look at this. He says, now you look. North, south, east, west. All the land that you see, I'm going to give it to you and your descendants. Now note this, forever.
Mm-hmm.
Not temporarily. And I'll make your descendants like the dust of the earth. And if you can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can be numbered. Now that is a major promise to a man that has no children.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not young. Think about it. And you think your problem's too big for God.
Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it to you.
Now Abraham has to do something.
Yeah.
All right, you look, north, south, east, west. Look at all that land you see. Now go walk it. And all that land where your foot touches, that's your descendants. That's what God gave to Israel. And it's spelled out. The territory is actually spelled out when Joshua divides the land.
Then
they got it on both sides of Jordan, West Bank and East.
Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord.
So here again, Abraham takes his tent and he goes to Mamre and he pitches his tent there. And what does he do? He builds an altar to the Lord.
Yeah.
You see God being the focal point of Abram's life. And that's the key to blessing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not seeking blessing, it's seeking God. And if you keep God as the focal point of your life, the blessing comes with God, but you don't seek the blessing. The blessing will seek you out. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And people get this out of perspective. In Deuteronomy 28, he didn't tell them to seek the blessing. He just said, obey the word. And the blessing will hunt you down. And that's what we have to learn to do, is just follow the word of God. As Abraham followed the word of God, blessing was following Abraham. He becomes more and more wealthy. You understand? He's more and more blessed.
Chapter 14. This records the capture of Lot, Abram's intervention, his encounter with Melchizedek, and his refusal to allow men to make him rich.
There's a lot there. Isn't
it? Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arok, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shimeber, king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar.
You got all that right?
I didn't.
Five kings against four kings.
Yeah. That's what's important.
That's the bottom line, okay,
mm-hmm.
Without giving you all the detail again, okay? Five against four. All right, then look at verses 3 and 4.
All these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled.
So they've been under tribute to the King Chedorlaomer, and so they decide to rebel against him and not pay the tribute anymore, and so this ends up in a battle.
Mm-hmm. And in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, and smote Rephaims and Ashtaroth, Carnaim and the Zuzims and Ham and Emens and Shaviv. Okay. Kirathaim.
Go ahead. Did you get all that?
Yeah. I did. Where it's
you got to the Horites and Mount Seir?
No.
All the way to El Paran.
And the Horites, okay, and their mounts here unto Elpharim, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to Enmishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of Amalekites, and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazazon Tamar. What is that?
Just keep reading.
Yes, okay.
You're on a roll. Keep
okay, I'm not on a roll. And there went out of the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Adma, and the king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar, and they joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, the king of nations, and Amraphel, the king of Shinar, and Arok, the king of Elasar, four kings with five, and the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their victuals, and went their way, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed.
Okay. Five kings against four, right? And the five get defeated. And then Lot, this should have been a warning to him, but what's happened? He's taken into the captivity.
Yeah.
In other words, they lost, but then Lot, it's not like he went back. He's been captured. Okay? Bad decision made, that he made to begin with, has cost him one time here. Okay? You understand, when they take possessions, guess what? They'll take lots too.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Okay.
Verse 13. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the place.
There, look at that. Abram the Hebrew.
Mm-hmm. For he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Ishkol and brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram.
See, Ashkol and Aner were allied with Abram. They're living there in the land of Mamre, and so he gets news of what's occurred that Lot has been taken into captivity, and so this is really incredible. When you think about four kings have defeated five kings. Now look at what Abram does.
And when Abram heard his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them into Dan.
So he has an army of 318.
Mm-hmm.
Trained.
Yeah.
Trained. Now that tells me something, that as he's traveling from one place to the other, he's not negligent, but there's always opposition along the way, and so his servants are already highly trained before this situation ever gets there. And so when he hears what's occurred, he loves Lot enough to go to his rescue.
Yeah.
Okay? And Aner and Eshcol go with him.
Verse 15, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus.
So here, Abraham's army, 318, attacks and defeats four kings.
Mm-hmm.
They run from him. You know what happens when they run? They leave all the possessions.
Yeah. Verse 16. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought back again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people.
So Abraham's army brought back all the possessions that the opposing army had taken, including, note this, Lot and his possessions.
Mm-hmm.
The women and all the other people who had been captured. You think God's not blessing Abraham? You think God's not with Abraham? Yeah, God's keeping his covenant word to him. When you can take your servants and defeat four kings. Pretty remarkable when you think about it.
Yes, absolutely. Verse 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale.
And so they come out to meet Abram as he returns back from defeating these four kings.
And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him tithes of all.
So Melchizedek, king of Salem, Salem means peace, went out to meet Abram with bread and wine. And it says that Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed Abram, and he said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Now, it's the Most High God who is the possessor of heaven and earth for all these people that think Adam gave the earth away. No. God owns the earth, heaven and earth. And so he pronounces his blessing over him. He says, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, who's possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God. Now note this, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. God did it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all that he had recovered after rescuing Lot. In other words, 10%, one-tenth of the spoil Abram gave to Melchizedek. This is your first record that you see of tithing in the Bible. Tithe, by definition, is 10. And so Abram's the first one you see tithing. He gives 10% or one-tenth to Melchizedek. That's long before Moses and the law and Levi.
Mm-hmm.
For all the people that think about all that being under the law, okay? way before the law.
And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to yourself.
I mean, you know, this king of Sodom, he's happy to get his population back. So he just tells Abram, he says, you keep the possessions and just give me the people. Now, most people say, yeah, you know, that sounds like a good deal to me, not Abram.
Mm-hmm.
You want to?
Yes.
You want to read that?
22. Mm-hmm. And
go ahead, read it.
Okay. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion.
Abram said, I've lifted up my hand to God of heaven, that I'll not take anything. No man's going to say he made me rich.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
You with me? Our time's up. We'll pick back up with this in our next session, okay? Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, that your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have a great weekend.